So over the past few weeks and months, for obvious reasons, I've been thinking about churches. I've been thinking a lot about churches and what makes a good church. I want you to think about that for a moment. Dream about church, your perfect church. What makes a good church? Think about that just for a moment. I'm not going to ask for responses because we realized a couple of weeks ago that I can't actually hear you. So there's just no point. But what makes a good church? Is it the praise? Is it the pastoral care? The giving, the serving, the teaching, the prayer? All of these are important. In this section of 1 John chapter 3, we see what is important in church. And John is saying that it's all about love. Love. The church then was under attack by the world around them about how they showed love. And the world's like, don't show love like that. You don't want to be self-sacrificial. They were under a lot of attack about how they showed love. And that selfish side of love was spreading into the church back then. And John was trying to counter this. Also, because of bad teaching and false prophets, there was division within the church. There was fighting. There was just a lack of love being shown between fellow believers, between brothers and sisters. And conflict in a church arises out of a lack of love. Which brings us to the reality of love. And John said this in verse 11. And we'll be in reading a lot out of John 1 John 3, so please open it up. He said this in verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He's saying from the beginning, when you first came to faith, you heard this message that we should love one another. But what does that look like? Well, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Or the verse before that where it says we're to give our lives for each other. The reality of love is that love is active. It is opening our hearts to each other and being generous. Whether that's generous with our time or our money, but it's opening our hearts to each other. He said in verse 18, little children, and this is his real term of endearment to them. This is him showing how much he loves them. He's going, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Christians need to actively show love. Our last staff planning day, which was awesome. I would have hated to miss the last part of it. It was so good. Anyway, we were thinking about church. Norman was encouraging us to dream about church, to think about the perfect church. And we all said, hi, Kirk, you know. but Andrew, while we were talking, he quoted something that he had read recently. And he said this, the plural of disciple is community. The plural of disciple is community. I'm right, am I? Yeah? That's okay, good. And as I thought about that, and I thought about all the other discussion we had, it helped me to come up with this little kind of tagline for what I would like church to be. You know, so you know the way we've got our wee taglines behind Low Church, you know, High Kirk, blah, blah, blah. This is what I would love it to be. High Kirk, nurturing disciples, building community. I like that. No? I think it's good. Anyway, it's mine. I want it. I probably stole it from Andrew. Anyway, but that, and as we'll discuss as the sermon goes on, I think that is what a Christian community that actively shows love needs to be, where we are becoming and nurturing disciples, growing to be the disciples God wants us to be, as we build community together, opening our hearts to one another, showing love to each other. Sorry, it's really warm up here. But funnily enough, a few nights ago, Abigail said to Karen, as she was putting her down, that Dad definitely follows Jesus because he talks about him all the time. And she said to Karen, you follow Jesus too because you sing about him all the time. And initially, you know, I thought, that's cute, you know, that's lovely, that's good. But then the challenge hit me as I was thinking about this sermon. As she grows older, if she just hears me talking about Jesus and not actively loving others, being a disciple, building community, then she may actually say something different. I fear that this has been the problem that churches have had over quite some time. Often we have been a church that talks about love but doesn't do love. We see it in the many divisions in churches. As I have been looking at different churches, I have been surprised by the amount of problems there have been in churches. And maybe that's why church is declining and young people are walking away from it. It's because we are not the loving community that we are supposed to be. We are probably not that loving community because we are not being the disciples we are supposed to be, loving as we are supposed to love. What does a loving church that nurtures disciples and builds community look like? I think it needs to have some of these things. It needs to be a loving place where there is mentoring happening, discipleship is happening, young and old are building into each other. We are being taught, we are being trained, we are always learning, serving is happening. There's confessing our sins to each other, there's forgiveness. There's praying for each other, there's praying with each other, there's praising, there's worship, there's giving, there's sacrifice, witnessing, being compassionate. People are being saved, we share life together, we just be church. And I think it is only as we discover this, as we maybe rediscover this, that then the church will flourish. Without it, we will simply pass away into irrelevance. Christian community is what we can offer to this world. It fights against that idol that the world chases after, that idol, and we've spoken about it many times, of individualism. Me, me, I, and all I. That idol of individualism that is actually destroying lives and relationships. As a church, we offer the world a loving community as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing and hope that that brings, with people with open hearts for each other, serving the Lord and praising Him. Christians need to actively show love. What is stopping us? And in this passage, there are three things that we can see. There's a warning to heed, there's an example to follow, and a confidence to hold on to. And I hope that they will help us to be a church that nurtures disciples and builds community. That doesn't just talk about love, but a church that does love. First, the warning that we need to heed. And John points to Cain. He did evil, not bringing his best to God. And we see that in verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. We read of this story in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, a little section of it here. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil and as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Abel brought his best to sacrifice to the Lord as a sign of his love and his commitment to God. Cain's offering, I think you could say, reflected his love for God. The principle is simple. When we are not bringing and giving our best to God, we are doing evil. And this stops us from doing love. Yes, we might talk about love, but will we actually do it? Our ability to love each other comes from our love for God. Because Cain didn't bring his best to God, we see that he struggled with things like jealousy, anger, selfishness, unforgiveness. He had that need to blame somebody else. It was Abel's fault, and he had to justify himself. And we see that again. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you did what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." You must master it. Like Cain, these can stop us from loving our brothers and sisters. These are all things that we all struggle with, be that jealousy, anger, selfishness, unforgiveness. Trying to beat that need to blame somebody else for our position or condition. The need to justify ourselves for what we choose to do. These are the things that the devil will use in our lives to stop us from showing love. Our world which we live in, our very commercial world in which we live in, is fueled by fueling our jealousy. Look at the adverts for cars, for watches, for whatever. They want you to want more, to feel that you need more, that you deserve more. It builds up a selfish desire, so you think about yourself. Individualism, again, pushes selfishness, unforgiveness, because why would I forgive you? Because you hurt me, you know. Self-justification, these all stop us from showing love. They breed ill will. And if we are not honest about these things that we all suffer from, what did God say to Cain? Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. We can bring these things to God and we can ask him to deal with them. And we will only master these when we give our best to God. When we hold back from God, these things go from crouching at our door to leaping into our lives and destroying relationships and our ability to love. They breed hate. And that is a scary thought. Have we dealt with them? God spoke directly to Cain to warn him. But sadly, as we know, he didn't listen to God. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Cain allowed the sin within to destroy his ability to love his brother, to the point that he hated and killed him. John said in verse 15, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Such a strong warning. As Jesus warned in the Sermon on the Mount about the importance of forgiveness and of not hating. We must forgive. We must set things right. Time after time, the Bible tells us to love each other with many examples of how to do that. In James, we see if one of you says to him, "Go, we wish you well, keep warm and be well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? We need to listen to God and actively love each other, not just talk about it, but do it. Listen to God. It was read actually this morning from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word will teach us. It will rebuke us. Maybe in some of these areas that we need to deal with. It will correct us, showing us what to do, how to fix that. It doesn't just leave us with the blame, but shows us how to fix it, trains us how to live our lives for every good work. And that is to open our hearts and to show love. So we need to heed the warning that God gives us and make sure that we are loving. That we are bringing to God our best, that we are not struggling with anything like this, and that we are listening to God. It says in verse 14, and we need to do this because it says this, we know that we have passed out of life to death because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. We also see another warning here in 1 John. And it's a little bit different, but he says in verse 13, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." And then Jesus told us in John 15, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own." We will be hated because of how we love each other. We can be attacked because of how we love. The attack may come in many different ways. And we can see already how the church is being attacked in an amazing amount of ways. Just read some of the Christian Institute stuff. It is being attacked. It has been called unloving for its stances. We will be hated because of how we love. But we need to remember, how did Jesus respond to hate? He responded with love. And while we were his enemies, he died for us. So we need to respond with love when we are hated. We are called to follow Jesus. And this is what John tells us. John tells us this in verse 16, that he is an example for us to follow. By this we know love, that he, that is Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Jesus is our example of how to share active love, not just talking, but doing. Jesus himself said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Again, this challenge is everywhere. As Christians, we know that Jesus gave his best for us. Later on in 1 John chapter 4, we read this. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Jesus gave his life for us, taking our punishment upon himself, giving his best, holding nothing back from us because he loved us so much. And therefore, we need to follow his example and love one another, giving our best to each other. Because of Jesus' active love for us, we must actively love each other. Jesus did good, putting others before himself. Paul challenged that each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We know how Jesus lived on earth. He did good, showed love, put us before himself. He healed. He performed miracles. He taught with parables about the kingdom of heaven. Even when we know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But how did that start? It started, he got off a boat and he just wanted to have some alone time. He had just heard that his cousin John had been put to death. He wanted some quiet time. But these people came to him and he had compassion for them. And he healed them and he taught them. And then he saw they were hungry. He said, right, let's feed them as well. Jesus put others before himself. He spent time with people, showing compassion, loving, challenging, saving, serving. He discipled and mentored the 12. That close relationship of teaching, of encouraging, challenging, praying for, helping, building into and building up. Jesus discipled and built a community which was so attractive to those who saw it, all because he loved. This is what we need, to be nurturing disciples and building community, spending time with each other. How can we love each other if we never spend time together as a church? How can we show compassion for and to each other if we don't take time to know what each other's needs are? How can we pray for each other if we don't share life together? One of the things I love in this church is the Gordon's Wee Prayer thing that he sends around, because we get to see what people need prayer for. We get to share life together. Even myself, one of the negative things about telling people everything, which is what I pretty much do, is that if things go badly, you have to kind of explain it. And I did that when it came to, preaching for different congregations. And I felt that it was important to share that with the congregation, because I believe this is a loving and a caring and a praying congregation. And I wanted the congregation to pray intelligently for what I was going to be going through. But it puts you out there. It makes you vulnerable. And we need to be vulnerable with each other. And if we are not vulnerable with each other, if we keep it all to ourselves, how can we open our hearts to each other? How can we be prayed for, loved? As most of you know from that prayer thing, I didn't get anything. It all went pretty badly. But I know that there are people here who are praying for me in that. And that is more appreciated than you probably will know. But we need to open ourselves to each other. We need to be involved in discipling, both being discipled and discipling, having mentoring relationships where older are building in to younger. I have a dream of a mentoring ladder, I call it. I probably stole this from somebody else as well, actually. Where, different people of different generations are mentoring each other, starting from younger all the way up to older. and we're building into each other's lives. Intergenerational, where everybody feels involved and knowing each other. And then the latter meets together every so often just to talk and to share life, to pray with. We need to think about how we do church more intergenerationally, but also just more openly. And then we will see a change. We will see people going from talking about love to doing love. A group that I was involved in mentoring, we took them to a kids' care area called the Kula Club. And while we were there, these guys did what we asked them to do. They just played with the kids. And it was a great day. But after that, they said, we want to go back there again. We hadn't planned to go back, but they said, we want to go back there again. And we want to go down to the shops and we want to buy them stuff. So they went, we said, oh, okay, no problems, we'll sort it out. So we went down and they bought little push bike things and just different things for these kids who had nothing. And it was awesome just to see these guys going from talking about love to actually doing love, to actually showing it. And in a big church like this, it's difficult to get to know everybody, to have all these relationships. And that's why it's important that we, our members, are trying to be in small groups. Small groups are key in all of this. But other ways can be involved in different organizations, serving in some way, being with that group of people, working together, building community. We are to be discipled. We are to be involved in discipling. If we are not, we are going to miss out. Our hearts will not be open. We will not love like we are supposed to love. If we are not doing these, following the example of Jesus, giving God our best, doing good, putting others before ourselves, because as we do this, we will have to sacrifice time and money and pain. Then I fear that if we don't do these, we will just simply talk about love and never do it. John said, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. As we actively show love to each other, we show that the truth is in us. Verse 19 starts an interesting little section about our confidence as we follow Jesus' example. And basically, I'm not going to do it because I'm just going to skip through this. But God, it tells us that God is greater than our hearts. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we doubt that we are doing the right thing. But God knows our hearts. And if we are serving him, following his example, showing love, then when doubt comes, when our hearts convict us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And that we are to keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. I love verse 22 and 23. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. That as we are doing this, we are keeping his commands, we are doing what pleases him, we are believing in Jesus, we are loving each other. And then how do we do all this? We do it because God's Spirit is in us. As we read in verse 24, God's Spirit guides us. Look at the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. What are they there for? They are there to build the community of believers. What's the fruit of the Holy Spirit there for? To help us to build the community of believers, to show God's love. As we live our Christian lives, loving each other, we can have confidence. Because God is greater than our hearts. We're following his commandments and his Spirit lives in us. What makes a good church? Christians actively showing love. It's hard, but you make yourself vulnerable. It's worth it. Let us be a place that nurtures disciples, builds community, loving, mentoring, serving, confessing, forgiving, praying, praising, giving, sacrificing, witnessing, being compassionate, saving others, sharing life, being church. Let's heed the warning of Cain and not allow hate and those other things to crouch at our door. Let's follow the example of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in our lives, that we will open our hearts to each other, being generous with each other, being the community of believers that brings glory to God. Let us pray.